Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim.
Aren't you going to introduce me, Dan?
No, you introduce yourself right there.
What?
Todd Adkins. Okay, so today we are going to be listening into a segment from one of our recent behind-the-scenes episodes that we did with Justin Burkholder on reaching Hispanics. Now, before you hit skip or pause or whatnot, because you're like, well, we don't have Hispanics in our church, then please listen in, because there are Hispanics in your community.
Important.
Yes, it's very important. And for all of you who are listening into this, because you have a lot of Hispanics in your church and in your neighborhood, I mean, this is just, you look at the stats, right? There's just an increasing number of Latinos and Hispanics, not just in the West, but I mean, they are a growing population around the world. In fact, with our CPLF gathering that we recently did, Church Planting Leadership Fellowship, we actually did a research project on the state of kind of the Hispanic church and what church planting looks like among Hispanics as well. So that's, I mean, this is such an important topic, and Justin Burkholder is one of the best guys to talk about it on this subject in terms of how does planting look different among Hispanics. So before we listen to this, let's just hear a quick word from our sponsor and we'll get into it. Do you ever feel like you don't know where to start with volunteer training?
Yes.
Or if you do, is it hard to get everyone in the same place
so
at the same time?
So hard.
Well, that's why Ministry Grid makes it easy to train every volunteer and leader in your church.
I need that.
With a library of over 3,500 videos and 800 courses, you get training in every ministry area for your church. And for the month of August, if you purchase at ministrygrid.com/podcast, you can actually get an unlimited subscription Ministry Grid for your entire church for $399 a year, not a month, a year. And next year, it'll be $399 again and again. So that's a crazy deal. So just go to ministrygrid.com/podcast and you'll get that. All right, now let's listen into the episode. Hey, welcome to this month's Behind the Scenes. I have Justin Burkholder here with me. Justin, thanks for being with us on the segment today.
Thanks a lot, Daniel. Appreciate it. Love what New Churches is doing and has done. Grateful to be here.
Awesome. So I'm Canadian, and being in the South mm-hmm. now for about 4.5 years, there's a lot of people who say they're Christian, but they're not Christian, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm sure you have a lot of people who are coming to your church too that are, no, it's like, I'm Christian. Yeah, totally. I'm Christian. But then in reality, belief-wise, gospel, they don't understand the gospel. They're not living out the gospel. So what encouragement, what have you learned about ministering in that context? And knowing what you know about the North American context, well, you know, U.S., Canada as well, and also other areas of the world where there's predominantly, hey, there's these people who think they're Christian, but they're not actually Christian. Yeah. What advice would you give our listeners in regards to that?
Yeah, that's good. You know, one of the hard things about being here is there's so much shared language between prosperity theology. You know, we talk about Jesus, we talk about gospel, we talk about church, we talk about Bible. We mean very different things by those words. And so, I think one of the most important elements is actually understanding and knowing your context, and not just sort of in general, but being able to pinpoint what are the specific phrases that are utilized to sort of embody this gospel that people are believing in that's not actually the gospel. Yeah. And then also being able to have very clear and precise definitions and phrases of how we use it. So, I mean, I think language is extremely important, you know, and so we talk a lot about the fact that that we don't come to Jesus to obtain something from him. Jesus is the treasure of most value. Yeah, you know, and so those sorts of language become like ingrained in our church, and they begin to understand that this distinction between what I've believed before and what I believe now. And so I think, you know, language and context are extremely important. And then, you know, we just we just don't assume anything, you know? And so we just have to start really basic with people and talk about the fact that Jesus is the hero of the Bible and not me. And the Bible is about him and not about me.
Okay.
And a lot of those sort of kind of really basic things, we have to go back to them on a consistent basis. You know, and in that issue, the question that we most have had to answer as a church, we never expected it, is, so should I get baptized again? Because it's tons of people who were part of a church, they said they believed something, they were baptized, and they've come to understand that they didn't actually understand or believe in the gospel. And so, which is a sort of a theological dilemma that I never expected to be in, really. You know what I mean? Like, you don't actually consider whether somebody should, you assume that if they got baptized because they believed the gospel, and not necessarily the case.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Now, Justin, you bring a unique perspective to ministry among Hispanics because you're not necessarily an outsider, but you're not necessarily an insider either, right? You have that third culture kid perspective as much as you are a white guy, I mean, you grew up in Mexico, right? You also were educated in the States and now you're going back. So the unique perspective that you have on the culture is that you can see both. You see this, there's this sense that you bring about. So in light of that, what advice would you give our listeners who are ministering among Hispanics and reaching Hispanics? What can you tell them about the Hispanic culture being both an insider and outsider?
Yeah. Well, I think one of the important elements is if you're ministering among Hispanics in the States, it's important to recognize that being a Hispanic is not a monolithic culture.
Okay.
And so being a Hispanic is representative of a region, but it's like saying, you know, that American culture is the same thing. If you've been, so I spent a lot of time in Chicago, that's very different than going down to Birmingham, Alabama, or even Louisville, Kentucky, or Nashville, Tennessee, wherever it is you're going, you know? So to talk about Hispanic, and that's, you know, maybe, you know, talking about New York City compared to some small town in somewhere.
Yeah.
That's one gap, cultural gap that exists. And I think it's important for people to understand that if somebody says that they're from Guatemala, that is a very different country from Mexico. And that's a very different country from Argentina. But those are all Hispanics, you know? And so it is important to understand when we say Hispanic, man, where are these people from? And taking the time to hear their cultural heritage, understand their cultural heritage, and appreciate the nuances and differences that exist, I think is a really important piece to being able to incarnate into a Hispanic community. I think the second piece that's very important is precisely that element of incarnating into the Hispanic community.
Okay.
Whether we like it or not, we live in an era in the United States where being a Hispanic is challenging. And that's because there's just a lot of politicization that has happened and it's polemic. And so I think it's easy sometimes for American churches to think, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start a Spanish service, you know? And a lot of times our churches are in the Anglo suburbs, everybody's white, everybody drives an SUV, everybody's like me. And then we expect the Hispanic who doesn't have my resources, doesn't come from my culture, to make the trip over to me and gather at my big building and walk in and be, you know, shake hands with all these white people who probably on the political spectrum, you know, might be in a different place in terms of how they relate with Hispanics. So I think that incarnating into and going and figuring out a way to have physical presence in a Hispanic community is extremely important as we also learn about kind of this cultural heritage and where people are from and all of those different dynamics.
Yeah, that's good. No, that's perfect. Perfect. Well, thanks so much for being with us, Justin.
Thanks, Daniel.
All right, so that's just a quick snippet of the webinar that was over 30 minutes that I interviewed Justin Burkholder on the rest of the webinar the behind the scenes segment that we did with him. We talk about this idea of advice that he would give churches that are wanting to multiply and reach the Hispanics in their neighborhood, in addition to what it looks like to plant a church to reach Hispanics, not only out of your campus or out of your church, but from scratch as a church plant as well. And even advice that he'd give denominational leaders as to how they can better resource planting among Hispanics in the country. So that's the neat thing that Justin, the perspective that he brings. I know, Todd, you were like, but he has the name Burkholder. That doesn't sound Latino.
I may or may not have said that off the air.
Yeah, but as you heard in the webinar, the behind
like,
the scenes.
Oh, and,
yeah. He definitely has, you know, he grew up there. He understands the culture.
Well, from a translation perspective, in order to translate culture, he's the perfect person to do that then because he's kind of a bridge in that regard.
Yeah, he is. He is. So be sure to, if you're a Plus member, be sure to watch the entire episode. We'll make sure there's a link in the show notes to see that entire behind the scenes segment there. But let's talk about reaching Hispanics in particular.
Right.
So in DC, when you were there, was there a particular campus or region of DC that reached more Hispanics that more Hispanics came to than others, or what did that look like at McLean?
No, it was it's just pervasive.
Yeah, okay,
The interesting thing about DC culture is there's historically there's a very strong African American culture, especially downtown. However, in more recent decades, that has just been, there's so amazingly much diversity in that town that it's unbelievable. And as he pointed out, what's really interesting is it's not just ethnicity, it's socioeconomics and everything, because there are some people that will identify with another person more from a socioeconomic standpoint than they will an ethnicity standpoint.
Yeah,
in
especially
that
if they're
melting
second generation.
Pot.
And onwards.
Second generation and onwards. So, yeah. I discipled a person or two, one who had moved here when he was 8 from Nicaragua.
Mm.
And so it was just fascinating to see how, you know, his family transitioned. They ended up, when I met him, he came to Christ during this time, so don't judge him.
Yeah.
When I met him, he had a brand new Porsche, and the license plate was personalized, and it said "capitalist" on it.
Yeah, capitalist.
Totally.
No joke.
I don't even know how he got it, but you know, that's what the guy was. But you know, and then you hear a story, and you hear about his family, and you hear how they escaped, you know, Nicaragua during a very tumultuous time. Came here and just, you know, bootstrapped and built themselves from nothing. And then you understand. And then you also understand part of his story is we came from nothing. We thought this was going to be everything. And now we kind of live the life of Ecclesiastes where we're saying, oh, all this doesn't really buy happiness. All this really doesn't, you know, equal fulfillment.
Yeah.
And so that's where we found him was during a series on the Song of Solomon.
Yeah. No, you bring up a really good point. And Justin mentioned this as well, the fact that not just because someone looks Latino doesn't mean that you reach them the same or that they're coming from the same place. So when you think about that, right, we have first generation churches that are Latino, that are Hispanic, that are reaching first generation immigrants. That is incredibly important. Their service is in Spanish. They likely have multiple countries who are participating because a lot of different countries speak Spanish. But the issue that a lot of them have is how do they then reach second generation Hispanics? And then you have multi-ethnic second generation Hispanic planters who are like, man, I don't speak Spanish, or I do in some context, but I'm not going to plant a church to reach first generations.
Right.
I'm going to plant a church to reach other Hispanics. And then I even met this one planter in Chicago where he's Hispanic, but his church is predominantly African-American because he identifies more with African-American culture, even though he is Hispanic, right? And then the examples go on and on and on. So it's not just, there's not just one way.
What was really interesting to me though is like, so within our church, you would have you had all different kind of affinity groups, which you heard me talk about before, but we also would have fellowships. So it would be, hey, this is the fellowship for Farsi speakers. This is, you know, the Hispanic fellowship was always, for lack of a better word, forgive me, yeah. I'm not terribly PC, but they were very integrated throughout the church.
Yeah, okay.
Whereas those that spoke Farsi, we're not. It was, we had to talk to them about, hey, this isn't like, this isn't meant for you to use our facility to have your own church and your own separate church service, church, everything. Like that's okay from a time to time standpoint. We get that, all that, but it almost, it had become that at one point in time where we had to address it. I've been gone for 7 years, so who knows what it is now. So
no,
I'm not saying anything.
Anything. So there's going back to what Justin said, you know, said Hispanic culture is not monolithic. So I would just say, obviously, listen to the behind the scenes segment because he does go deeper into this. But the advice that I would give everyone here listening in is, what can we learn from the Hispanic church? And the biggest thing I believe is how the Hispanic church values family, familia, right? There's that huge emphasis on that within the culture. And that is something that is important for every church to learn from and move toward, not because it's a cultural ethic, but because it's a biblical ethic. And not only is it a biblical ethic, it's a picture of the kingdom of God. And in our world, what is the gospel? What is good news? As our culture continues to struggle with isolation and loneliness, family and community and love and acceptance, I mean, that is the gospel. So that's something that I believe every church can do a better job at, and that we can learn from the Hispanic culture and Hispanic church about, and that, you know, one among many other things. So, and thanks again for listening to the New Churches Q&A podcast. If you haven't yet checked out the Established Church podcast, be sure to do that. Sam Rayner, Micah Fries, and Josh King talk a lot about issues pertaining to the Established Church. And we understand that this is a church planting podcast. And you're like, well, why are you talking about the Established Church on a church planting podcast? Well, it's because every church plant will become an established church. And eventually, we have a lot of established churches listening in who are wanting to think and look toward multiplication. So that's a great podcast to check out. EST on your favorite podcasting app or Established Church, and you will find them and listen to, be able to check out some of their recent episodes. All right. Well, thanks again for listening in, and we'll catch you next time.